Wonderful song selections, Daryl. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Have a few announcements real quick before we get started with our lesson. For those of you that usually volunteer for the Serving Our Kids, that has been suspended until August. We can continue to collect the items needed, the food items, to prepare for a large donation when we return in August. And a full list of the types of items we collect is on the bulletin board back there. And if you have any questions, be sure and see Sean. And only bring those items that we can use for that collection. So, and if you have any questions, Sean can address those. We got a card from, I'm sure you may not recognize the name. You would know their face. They've been here probably a good half a dozen to 10 times. Mark and Jan Lunsford from South Carolina. And they were here just a few weeks ago again. And I'll tell you, they're here more often than some of our own members. Anyway, did I say that out loud? I got to keep those thoughts in there. It said, "Dearest brothers and sisters, thank you for the welcoming haven you offer to those traveling. I am sure that this is the same for everyone passing through visiting your worship services. We will continue to pray for this work and the impact you are having at South Valley. We look forward to hopefully seeing you again in July. God bless all, Mark and Jan Lunsford." They are here. They do a lot of traveling and come through here. And we've got some visitors today. Some visitors first time. They had moved from California. And we've got some visitors from Southwest Arkansas. And we are glad to have you. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Also, there was, we need to remember Kathy Hope's niece in our prayers. Her name is Amy. She has developed sepsis and has fluid on the lungs, which is going to be drained here soon. And she is in ICU. So we need to remember Kathy Hope's niece, Amy. Let's go to God in prayer. On behalf of Amy right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings you give us. We're so thankful for your loving hand and the way you care for us. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, anything that will stand between us and you. Dear God, we come to you as a body right now asking a special care for Kathy's niece, Amy. She is in ICU, and we ask that you be with the doctors, the nurses that so diligently care for her. We ask, our desire is that she will get well and get back to her normal life soon. We hope that the doctors and nurses can make the best treatments to help ensure that. Dear God, be with us the rest of this service. We hope that everything done so far has been pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we looked at Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21, about the lust of the flesh. Today, we're going to look the continuing verses here in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, what we usually refer to as the fruit of the Spirit. And after giving this big list of items that were lust of the flesh, and we noticed last week that many of them were actions, conduct that we do, but some of them also were attitudes. And it's not just the carrying out of something, but an attitude that can be displeasing and be sinful to God as works of the flesh. And Paul said that it was evident. And we go right into this continuing thought, and I'd like to read this. I appreciate Frank reading it earlier. Starting in verse 22, Paul wrote, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." He starts off, but. Paul had just talked about the works of the flesh. How those that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then his next word is but. He tells us the alternative. Many people, I started to say all, but not everybody, many people can point out the wrong. Go to any sporting event. There's tons of people watching a sporting event that can point out that person dropped the pass. Brilliant. You should sign up as a coach. You figured that out. So did everybody else that was watching. Paul points things out, but he also gives the solution. Amen. On how to correct it. If all we did was tell our kids, that's wrong, we're wrong. Teach them this is wrong, but give them the alternative. Amen. We are told to bring our children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Not just point out sin. Paul told them a list of practices and attitudes that would keep them out of heaven. And the question I asked last week, would it make you feel better to go to heaven for one of those sins rather than a different one? I didn't commit murder, but I did one of the others. He starts out, but. And then he gets into the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is produce. Stacy and I, thank goodness, we're not professional farmers and have to grow things to feed ourselves, because we would starve to death. But we have a hobby of, we enjoy growing carrots and peppers and okra and stuff like that. Thank goodness we don't have to support ourselves by it. But the produce is the end result. It is the end result of the efforts. And Paul is saying, but the fruit of the Spirit, and Jesus talks about the fruits. He says in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. Now, we're told many times, you know, that we're not supposed to judge. We're not judging somebody's salvation. You know, that's up to God. We're not doing that. But Jesus himself said, you can evaluate people. You will know them by their fruits. Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That is how you will know somebody by. Are you going to know somebody by the lust of the flesh? Or will you know them by the fruit of their Spirit? And he goes into this another list. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. True love. I love you. True love. Your homework. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this week. Just read that about what true love is. He goes on to say, joy. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on an event. Happiness is based on a circumstance. You can go to Disneyland. What's it say? The happiest place on earth. You can go to Disneyland and be happy. But you can have joy without going to Disneyland. Joy is something in you, and it's not based on what's going on around you. Paul had joy in spite of shipwrecks, in spite of imprisonments, in spite of beatings. He had joy. Joy is different than happiness. Hopefully we're all happy, because that means things are going great. But more than that, I hope we have joy that only Christ can give. Peace. Similar to joy, peace is not the absence of strife. It is not the absence of warfare. It is not the absence of struggle. You can have peace in the midst of it. Peace is not the absence of strife. You can have the absence of strife by just laying down and submitting to the world, to keep from being persecuted. The world is full of history. Well, you could have given in to the Nazis. We could have given in to the British. And still be having a British accent too. Peace is not the absence of strife. It is peace sometimes in the midst of strife. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is not only suffering long, willing to suffer long, willing to endure outside effects, but long-suffering with each other. Are we going to cut a relationship with brothers on one offense? Strike one, you're out. You're done. I'm cutting you off forever. We are peculiar people. Literally, peculiar people as Christians. We're peculiar in the world. Some of us are a little bit more peculiar than others. We've all got little things about us. We're long-suffering toward each other. God was long-suffering toward us, that He didn't want any to perish, but that would come to repentance. I'm glad He didn't give me one strike and I'm out. He was long-suffering toward me. Kindness. It's easy to be kind when somebody's kind to you. It's easy to be reciprocal. We're told to be kind Not conditionally. Not if he's nice to me. Not if she's friendly to me. We're to be kind. As Christians, we should have this spirit about us that is kind. Goodness. That's how you show your kindness. Is good behavior, good actions, faithfulness. That goes without saying. Faithfulness to God. Not conditionally. Faithfulness is one of that showing that you are a Christian. Gentleness. Gentleness does not mean weakness. Gentleness is not laying down and being walked all over. Like a parent with a newborn baby, they're gentle. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talked about blessed are the meek. That's gentle. Power under control. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was gentle. He had the power of God at his hand when they're mocking him on the cross. And they said, oh, if you're the Son of God, come down, save yourself. I'm glad it was Jesus, because I would have been throwing lightning bolts and thunder and all sorts of stuff. He was gentle. And you can't be gentle without self-control. In fact, you cannot do any of those things without self-control. Now, some of those are a little bit easier to do than others. Just like when last week when we looked at the lusts of the flesh. I have absolutely no problem with some of them. Others, it's a fight. These, some of them are as natural as can be. Some of them are, it's a dedicated effort every day to do this. And Paul goes on to say, against such there is no law. Just like the lust of the flesh, these are obvious and evident. This displays your life as a Christian, your behavior, your attitude. And if you notice, these are a combination of action and attitude. He goes on to say, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We have crucified that worldly part of our life. We've turned our back on it. Those who are Christ's. We use some terms in Christ. We use some terms being baptized into Christ. Are you obeying the gospel? Are you in him? Galatians 3:21, just a few chapters earlier, Paul says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It means you belong to him. Those who are Christ's, that's possessive. You are his. You are in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul told Timothy, the Lord knows who are his. He knows whether we're his or not. There were some people in Matthew 7 that thought they were his, that got a rude awakening, that depart from me, I never knew you. You're not part of me. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Perfect companion verse dealing here in Galatians 5. We just got the list last week of the works of the flesh, and now the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 6, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's how you get into Christ. If you have not been baptized, you're not in Christ. You may worship Christ, you may pray to God, but you're not in Christ. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul goes on in Galatians that we've crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. We have put that to death. We're no longer living in that. Galatians 2:20. I think I first learned this verse, didn't know it was a verse. I think I learned it as a song at summer Bible camp. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the gospel in a verse. That is the gospel of Christ in a verse. And he finishes up, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And just like we talked about last week, about if there's a difference in sinning and living in sin, where is it that we live? Is it in sin or is it in the Spirit? Or do we once in a while do some spiritual things? And Paul is saying, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because so many of those things are attitude. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, and we're getting to the close. We're getting there. Give it just a little bit. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's how you transform your mind. That's how you renew that mind. And closing up, the Apostle John wrote, but if we walk in the light, again, here we have but. Conditional. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Last week, we saw the works of the flesh. This week, the alternative, the better choice, the choice that brings salvation, that shows salvation, the fruit of the Spirit. We've got a whole new week ahead of us for us to display that fruit of the Spirit. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayers, through repentance, if you've been looking for a church home and would like to identify with us as we would like to identify working and worshiping here with you at South Valley, by all means, let those needs be known as we stand and sing.